setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to be, and how to get there. Oh, man. Are you kidding me, Ken? Are you telling me this show's about me and my dream? Yes. Yes, it is. Why? Is this all about selfish ambition? No. This is about the selfless pursuit of being who you were created to be, because you were created to contribute to this world. And specifically, you were given talent and you were given passion. Think of these as raw chunks of clay. Very valuable chunks of clay, but raw when you come into this world. And then as we seek to see what we do best and what we love to do most and how they can come together. In other words, the sweet spot, as I say, is at the intersection of what you do best and what you love to do most. And so as we begin to see how they can come together and we begin to work on these raw talents and passions, then clarity comes through the crystallization, and then we sharpen the talent into skills. We sharpen the passion into a very specific purpose, and all of a sudden, we're living like no one else and working like no one else. This is attainable.
844-747-2577. All right, let's start off with Lynette, who's calling from right here in Franklin, Tennessee. Lynette, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call today.
I'm happy to.
Yes, so I am at a bit of a career crossroads. I'm trying to debate whether I should stay with my current company or if I should seek other opportunities outside of the company.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Keep going.
You know, there's been a few changes within the current company that I'm in, and it just kind of is pushed me to the forefront of saying, hey, maybe I need to update my resume. Maybe I need to step out into what it is that I really would like to be doing.
All right. Well, what is it that you really would like to be doing?
I want to be in the sector of HR. I want to work in organizational development. Mm-hmm. So I've been in finance for many years, and so it's just been kind of hard for me to transition over into that industry without having that hands-on experience. And so I've kind of been discouraged with it. So, and then in my current position, there's been some changes, and they're trying to get me to stay, and they're giving me incentives to stay, but I don't know what to do.
Okay. So, well, you know what to do. You should do what you've always wanted to do. You should do what you really want to do. And to me, this has been super clear so far in our conversation, that you want to get into HR, specifically organizational development. And it's just that you've had a hard time. And I'd like to know what that means by hard time getting in. What has been your experience in trying to make the move into HR?
Well, my resume only highlights all of my accounting experience. So I've been, you know, told, no, hey, you don't have the experience. We need at least 2 to 5 years of some type of HR hands-on experience. And then at certain, I know, you know, you have your resume template that I've been implementing. And, you know, to get into certain companies, I may not directly know anyone or, you know, have anyone in my sphere of influence.
Right.
So it's just been kind of tough to transition over.
All right. So let me ask you if you know very clearly what requirements besides that experience that someone's told you need 2 to 5 years experience. But what else do you need to be qualified to get into HR?
Well, they typically require certifications.
Do you have that?
They like to see that. I do not have certifications. However, I do have a master's degree in organizational leadership.
What would it cost financially, and how long would it take, based on your life right now, for you to get that certification that you just mentioned?
That's the other part of it. So certifications may take me maybe 6 to 9 months mm-hmm. to get certified. Mm-hmm. So my current employer, there's been some changes going on within the organization. We lost our CFO mm-hmm. and our controller within a week. And so I voiced my concerns to them, you know, about the stability of the company. And so they offered to help me get certified in the with HR certifications if I stay with the company.
Okay, Lynette, that you have to do that then, because you need to do more things. You're not ready to move on anyway. You don't have the certification. So had you not told me that this current company was adding this as an incentive, I would have said, well, you're going to stay where you're at right now, and you're going to take the incentives, you're going to take the bonuses or whatever they're offering you, the increased salary, and then you're going to get this certification done. You've got the master's degree, and then you're going to take the 6 to 9 months to make connections with people that are in the HR field. You're going to see, you know, what are some entry-level opportunities, and how does that square up with your current earning, and would you have to go backwards? Mm-hmm. Could you go backwards? Like, there's a lot of research that you still have to do. But here's the great news. Lynette, step one is you need to tell your company today, all right, I'm going to stay with you through this transition, but here are the things that I want. And you add, you know, whatever, a few things if they're not unreasonable, but I would take them on their offer. They're going to pay you, or they're going to pay for your certification for you to move into HR. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is, and the backside is that it's a small company. There aren't any advancement opportunity in HR to stay within the company. So I kind of see it as they're just trying to hold on to me through this rough spot.
Yes, and this is a blessing. This is a blessing because you've got to get certified. Number one. Number two, you need to start making connections with people that are in HR. You need to practice my proximity principle. And so while you're getting certified, that they're paying for, you're out connecting with people in the HR world, so you're no longer submitting cold resumes. Do you understand? Like, this is set up beautifully for you. So this is great. So again, yes, I'll stay. Thank you for paying for my certification in HR. Who do I know that knows somebody that's an HR professional in Franklin, Tennessee, or Nashville, Tennessee, or surrounding areas? I'm going to ask them to make a connection for me so I can have coffee, take people to lunch, and tell them that I want to be in their field. Besides my certification, besides my master's, how can I become attractive in HR positions? Who do you know? Is there somebody in your company that is looking for somebody like me? You know, you got to get with other HR professionals and get the word out. They're going to open up opportunities for you. This is how the proximity principle works. In order to do what Lynette wants to do, which is HR, she needs to get around people that are in HR. She needs to get in places like HR clubs or HR associations in Middle Tennessee. That's called the proximity principle. And then opportunities are going to open up as a result of her putting herself around the right people and in the right places. You're on your way, Lynette. This is great news. Thrilled for you. Thrilled for you. All right, folks, coming up, more of your calls. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multi-millionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com
jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman.
Welcome back, America. You're listening to the Ken Coleman Show, where people come to get clarity on the age-old question. Why am I here? Well, you're here to do something that matters deeply to you for the benefit of others. There it is. You can take the rest of the day off and soak on that one. 844-747-2577 is your show. I don't have the answers. You do. I promise. It's my job to get them out of you. So if you're feeling stuck, confused, scared, doubtful, whatever the situation may be, there's no shame in your game. And we are here for you. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Chris, who's on the line in Chicago, Illinois. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. First, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Second, I want to be you. I want to do what you do. but that's a hobby. So to the question at hand, I have a great job. I love my job, love what I do. I'm around some of the best minds in our industry that I'm in. Unfortunately, the company that I work for was just sold in a major acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And quarter one next year, I will potentially be going to a different company or catching a severance and leaving. Rumor mill says that my position at the other company is currently open right now, but that's not a for sure thing. And
yeah,
I don't want to put my feelers out there, potentially get the word out there that I'm looking to leave. I do have some loyalty to my company because of the fact that my mentors are here, and they are some of the greatest minds in the industry. And if they make the transition, it's going to look real bad if I jump ship.
Well, but
I'm just,
okay, slow down. I totally hear where you're coming from. And I want to simplify this in your brain, because you are analyzing the stew out of this thing right now. And you're dealing with rumor instead of reality. So your first step after this phone call is let's go get some real answers. Rumors do nothing, because all rumors do is put specificity on uncertainty. Right? We just heard you say it. Well, the rumor is that, you know, and I don't know. And it's like, no, we don't know. Rumor just makes uncertainty worse. It just makes it worse in our minds. So let's go get real about this. Your mentors are at that company. I'd ask, are you planning on going with this new deal? Are you going to stay? That would be my first question. Do you have the answer to that yet?
They are planning on it. I mean, if they're offered a position, they will stay.
Great.
Post-merger. They're going to stay with the company for sure.
Great. Okay. So if they get offered and they stay, what kind of influence are they going to have to be able to stick you in that open position or find something really darn similar with this new situation?
Quite a bit. If they stay, if they're offered a position, I'm going to be able to ride their coattails into the new position and start to shine like I've done with this company.
When will they know if they're going to be offered a position?
Sometime after the DOJ does all their due diligence and the new company can come in and start interviewing and having conversations. Right now, because it's being reviewed by the Department of Justice, nobody's really allowed to talk to anybody.
I get it. But, I mean, do you have an idea how long that's going to be?
Sometime in the next couple of months. They're projecting quarter one next year is when this deal is going to go through.
All right. Do you have any idea, if you don't get offered a job with the new conglomeration here, what kind of a severance you'd have? Would it be month, two, three, six? What are we talking about?
It's 2 weeks for each year, so I'm looking at about a 16-week plus 2 years of bonus. So it's a significant severance, and my position it transcends. I can take it anywhere.
Awesome. So
I
you
like
would
the
have
industry I'm in, but I could take it anywhere.
So you would have how many months before you had to do anything if they let you if they didn't hire you?
Quite a bit. Well, we'd be looking at 16 weeks, so
it's four months
plus the two bonuses.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm probably a good solid 6 months.
Yeah, that's what I
have to really do something.
That's what I was thinking. So, you see what I'm doing with you right now? Have you noticed what I'm doing? I'm just walking you through realities. We got to deal in realities, not rumors. Because the good news is you love your job. You're in your sweet spot. You love the company. You got mentors above you that love you. You got tremendous value. So right now, you just got to chill. There's no reason for you to even be stewing on this other than getting some answers and find out. There's got to be, well, you can't talk now because of the DOJ stuff. But as soon as the DOJ stuff gets cleared, I think your first order of action would be finding out if, in fact, your position is open in the company that's buying your company. And then from there, you know, you start dealing in realities and you got some time and your position, you can do it anywhere. So just breathe. You are in a super, super, I think, stable situation given this type of corporate, you know, merge, which can create a lot of anxiety. I don't think you need to have any anxiety at all. You got a lot of options, and I think the chances are really good. Let's go to Doug, who's on the line in Columbia, Missouri. Doug, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am living the dream. How can I help, Doug?
So I was just calling because, you know, I've spent about 10 years working for the same company, and I've been in several different roles, partially in marketing, partially in sales, and then partially in finance. And quite honestly, I'm getting to the point where I need to really focus on one area in order to get promoted and continue to grow within the company.
Yeah.
But I'm just, I guess I'm struggling with, you know, how to figure out which way to go. I feel like I'm equally passionate about all three areas, and it's somewhat, you know, and I can see myself long-term in each one, but I'm just, again, just struggling seeing where I, which position I'd want to be in 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Again, knowing I feel kind of equally about all three.
Yeah.
And I'm just struggling with what questions I should be asking myself.
Well, I think there's actually some clues within what you do best, your talent, skills, and strengths, that might allow you to rank those three areas a little bit differently. I don't know that they're all equal, but let's just say that they are. Don't overthink it. You know what I mean? You know, just say, sure. Okay, well, I'm going to choose this path. But I think there are some clues. Tell me if I interviewed people that work with you, people that have led you, people that coached you, people that taught you, your parents, wife, kids, I don't care who. I do a full survey on Doug, and I say, I just want you to tell me his top two or three strengths, talents, skills. What would I hear as a consistent theme?
No, that's a great question. I think the first thing people would say about me is the analytical piece. I think that's definitely number one.
Okay.
And then I think that the people skills, you know, more of the soft skills is number two. But those, I think, would be the top two for sure.
Okay, what else? Just don't overthink it because you're very analytical. What else would I hear? What are some other things that you do really, really well?
Oh, geez. I mean, I think that I think I've been able to make, I'm a hard worker, and I think people would say that, and I think that's maybe partially why I've been able to make
That's a character trait. So you're starting to lock up, and we're running out of time. Let me ask you this. Marketing, sales, finance, what is it the function? What's the function that you get fired up about? If you were going to use your talents of analyzing and then communicating, because that's people skills, so connecting with others and analyzing problems. A guy who's analytical is always looking at what could be better. Would you rather do that in the finance side of things or in the marketing storytelling side of things?
Sure. I think that on the finance side, I that's where I struggle because on the finance side, I like working with the numbers, but I like that, you know, with marketing, there's other things going on outside of just numbers. But I do feel like numbers is my number one passion, but I'm just not sure from a finance standpoint that it's something I want to do all the time.
Okay,
if
so
that makes sense.
It does make sense. I think you're overthinking this. So here's my thought process. I want your homework assignment to say this. I need to discover how my love of numbers, and it doesn't have to be finance. Let's just talk data. I think that the word is data. I think marketers love data. So I think you want to be working with numbers because you analyze numbers and see patterns. But if you like the marketing side of things, get out of finance and just be a data cruncher with marketers. Try that. But just look, how do I combine the two? It doesn't mean you got to choose one or the other. How do you combine the two?
Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you.
Showing you the way to work that matters so deeply to you, you'll just sit at the end of the day and say, wow, I can't believe I get to do this. You know, I paint that picture on purpose because I want some of you to go, good grief, that sounds really great. Or some of you are going, my word, I just don't know if that's possible. I haven't said that ever in my life. So there's a little mental painting for you, and it's not a pipe dream. So I don't care how many cynical, nasty people you have around you go, that's just not possible. You're just a working stiff. You're just pounding it out. Every week, 40 hours a week, just, hey, get the toys for the weekend. Drink a lot, you know? Yeah, you know, if you drink enough on Friday night, you'll forget the last 5 days. I mean, this is what essentially a lot of people do. I'm not judging anybody, okay? We're not here to judge. I'm just simply saying, if that's the recipe you want, well, wrong show. But if you want to get to the end of your life and reminisce and not regret, then you have found the show for you. 844-747-2577. We go back to the phones. Edward is on the line in Council Grove, Kansas. Edward, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Happy to talk to you here.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you. How can I help?
I thought I was in my dream job. I went to school for eating and air, and now that's what I'm doing right now, and I'm not really enjoying it like I thought I was going to be. Just not looking forward to going to work every day, and just not really enjoying it.
Yeah. Why are you not enjoying it?
Just some of the aspects of it that I've been doing, it seems like, is not what I guess I thought it was going to be when I took the job.
Well, be more specific here, because we got to look into this so that we can learn something as we step out of this and move forward, if in fact that's the case. What do you love about it, if anything?
I love a lot of the theories behind it, the science behind the heating and air, the mechanics behind it. I love that. I've been told I'm a very mechanical-oriented person, so the mechanics really, really intrigue me.
Okay. Now that's awesome. We got ourselves something to work with here, Edward. So now let's look at the flip side. What's the part that makes you not want to go in?
Oh, just I think a little bit of the hours that I'm working, the environment that I'm in. I believe some of the company that I've been working with has been getting me down a little bit as well.
Okay, but stop. Stop. What are your hours?
Well, from usually we work 8 to 5, but with being heating and air, we have to work, you know, pretty much until the equipment is fixed, and that could be who knows what time at night.
That's right, because you got clients like me. When my AC goes down, I need you there at 7 o'clock at night.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I get it. And your coworkers are a bunch of just goofballs and negative, and it's just not a group of people you'd hang out with any other place.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so let's identify that. So that's what's wrong. Let's just have a fun exercise, Edward. If I guarantee the hours would be 8 to 5,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't working with a bunch of knuckleheads, how
yes,
much
sir.
Would you love going in?
I think I'd pretty much enjoy it.
Yeah, so you're doing the right thing in the wrong place. This is
okay.
not about, you have not lost your passion. You're not, in fact, you are in your sweet spot, actually, as far as the work goes.
but you're just not in a great environment. So now we have to step back from this and let's look at what you told me you love. Ken, I love the science and the mechanics behind heating and air. Interesting. I'm curious. Do you love the interaction with the homeowners?
I do enjoy. I'm a kind of a people person. I can talk to people pretty good.
And you like how you feel when you fix their heating and air, and you're more important than the husband is.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like a superhero.
Not sometimes, a lot. So,
yes, sir.
So here's my question. How do we go, okay, where do we get Edward into a situation where he is working on machines? I don't care if it's heating and air or not, but something like that. But that it is in an environment where you get to go home. Because I think even if we remove the knuckleheads, the constant hours all the time, it would be a drain on you, even though you love the client part of it. So I just think of all the different things you could fix mechanically that may be less of a customer-facing situation, and it's more for a company to where you're not, maybe every once in a while something goes down, you got to go in and fix it. But largely, you get to work on in a mechanical role and fix things and feel like a superhero, but you're not on call all the time. I just think it's that simple of a trajectory change. Am I right or am I wrong?
It sounds right. I've been looking at other maintenance positions around the area that I'm at right now.
Yeah, I just think that's the play. But I'm just trying to encourage you that you are not in the wrong play as far as the sweet spot goes. You're in your sweet spot. It's the wrong application of it. But everything that, you see what I'm saying? So we're going to fix the crazy on-call hours, right? And we're going to fix the knuckleheads.
Yeah.
But there are there's a lot of places where you could be valuable and do that for other people. So I think you get about finding those places. And again, we're looking for those two differences. No knuckleheads, good culture. Let's do some research on that. And I'm not going to have to work till 7, 8, 9 o'clock every summer. Simple. I love that, though. A lot of people feeling that way. Oh, man, I got to change. I'm not my sweet spot. No. You're doing the right thing in the wrong place. Whoa, let's slow down. And by the way, you watch. That whole conversation right there should change Edward's perspective. He can go, okay, I can put up with these knuckleheads a little longer. I can put up with these, you know, these crazy hours right now, knowing that I'm going to step out of this in the future pretty soon. And he's going to feel much better about himself because, boy, he loves fixing the units. Loves being the superhero. Let's go to Laura, who's on the line in one of my favorite cities in the South, Savannah, Georgia. Laura, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thank you. I live in small town USA, and I have a job interview at our local high school.
Okay.
For a bookkeeping position.
All right.
And the superintendent stopped me at open house and said he was excited that I had applied for the job and that the interview would have himself, the high school principal, and the county CFO from the Board of Education. However, the superintendent is also my small group leader at church. The assistant superintendent is my assistant small group leader at church. With having this superintendent in the meeting, do I address him by his formal title of doctor? I know him on a formal basis. His personal secretary at work is in my Sunday school class. Another member of the Board of Education work staff is in my Sunday school class. Everybody refers to him by first name. We're small town USA. Our rules are a little different than mainstream job market. So how do I handle him being in the interview on a professional / personal basis that I don't offend anybody, in case no one else in the room knows he's my Sunday school teacher?
I got to tell you something. I don't even know if this interview needs to happen. I think this is a slam dunk. If I've ever heard of a slam dunk, Joe and Madison, this is a slam dunk.
I moved into the county.
Yeah.
And so I'm not a local.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're in small group with everybody.
I know.
Good grief. Do you guys get along in small group?
Absolutely. Yeah. He was also my husband's high school coach in another county 20 years ago.
This is the proximity principle on steroids. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to tell you what I think, but I want you to tell me what you think first. You called me. I appreciate that.
Calling doctor.
Yes, that's what I think as well.
Because look, when you leave the room, he's going to tell everybody all those other things if it doesn't come up in the interview. So
if he hasn't already.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So call him doctor so that it doesn't look like you're being too familiar. And that is just easy. Just give him the respect. It's like we talk about wearing different hats around here. Put on your professional hat and address him professional. Coming up, we'll take more of your calls. Today may be your day to get the clarity you need to confidently step out and fill your purpose. This is The Ken Coleman Show. This is where America hangs out to talk about purpose. How do I figure out what my purpose is? And then if I do figure it out, how do I make it a reality? Well, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. That is why we're here. Taking talk radio by storm because everybody's going, what is this? Wait a second. You're not going to talk about Washington, D.C. and its impact on my dream? No. So, you know what makes this fun is like, it's come one, come all. We don't care what your political persuasion is. What we care about is what your purpose is. So, if you're looking for another show about somebody firing you up and getting you angry, this is not it. If you're looking for a show that fires you up and gets you on purpose, now you have arrived. Because this is what we do. It's all about you. You were created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed. It also means that you must do it. So now it's not just feeling good about ourselves that we matter. It's we better get about the business of mattering. In other words, we want to do work that matters to us because we know the results are for others. 844-747-2577. If you're stuck, confused, scared, down, defeated, this show's for you. We can help you. Let's get that Mount Everest clear so we can get our heads up, looking forward. And then we'll come up with a path to get you up to the top of your Mount Everest. The American dream is alive and your dream job is closer than you think. 844-747-2577. All right, let's go to Kim, who's on the line in Chicago. Kim, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. How can I help?
So I'm a Ramsey Preferred Coach, and I'm currently in the process of starting my own financial coaching business while working full-time.
Okay. This is financial coaching, just for everybody listening.
Yep.
Okay.
So I've been approached by a local company that wants me to build my business under their name, and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I go and work with the company so I can start right away, or if I give myself some time, do it on my own, and then slowly work my way into my passion.
Yeah. Interesting. Couple of questions. Why did they say why they want this arrangement? And if they didn't, why do you think they want you to bring your business under them? And then I have a follow-up question. I'm going to ask it all at the same time. Do you have an existing list of clients you're financial coaching right now?
So I do have an existing list of clients.
How many people?
I've been signed on under another company, so they're paying me as an employee benefit for their staff.
Oh, so it's not question. It's so they're not really your clients.
They're not really my clients. I have some within there, but it's a financial benefit for that company.
Yeah, but my point is if they cut that contract today, those people would have to then decide if they wanted to pay you out of their own pocket.
Right. Or I'd see if I could bring them in to the new company.
Whereas right now, their company is essentially paying you and they're not having to come out of pocket for your services.
Exactly.
All right. So that's a key point. The reason I ask you that is let's get really clear on where you really stand. You don't have clients. You have one client.
I do. That's my client.
Well, I know. But my point is you got one client, right? The company? Or you got more than that?
No, I have more than that.
Okay. Tell me.
So I have probably about 10 clients.
Including the company that you just told me about?
Yes.
Okay. How much money are you making?
About $500 a month right now.
Yeah. Okay, so again, you're not at a place where you can live off that.
Oh, no. I'd still have to stay at my full-time job.
Exactly. So your business isn't big enough that you're really giving anything up other than it's your baby. So there's some ownership stuff there, but right now it's not like you're saying goodbye to a bunch of really good revenue. So I needed to know that. So what would the arrangement look like if you went to work for this company, this local company that wants you to bring your financial coaching business under them? What's the arrangement?
So I would be building pretty much they would give me a base pay, and then it would be my job to build the P&L for this type of business.
What would the base pay be?
I have to tell them. I have to come up with a number.
Well, I'm going to tell you what the number is. What is your current day job paying you?
About 75.
Okay. You know what's funny to me? For a financial coach, you don't seem to have a clear grasp of the numbers, or is that just the way you answer things?
That's just the way well, it's because I'm on the air. I don't want to say too much.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
That's okay.
But here's the point.
I do have a number I would tell them.
Okay, great. Let's just go with that number. Okay,
yes, but I have a number.
Here's the point. I appreciate what you're saying now. Okay, so here's the deal. Whatever you're making right now, that's the number, at least. It's probably plus, but let's just say at a minimum, it's the number you're making right now, correct? Because you're not going to just, we don't want you to go backwards. So you're going to go to them and you're going to give them a number.
Okay? Yep.
And it's based on what you're making now, whatever, plus. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then there's some pressure on you, though, because they're paying you a salary, and then you're going to have to go out, and my guess is you would have to say goodbye to your 10 other clients, or would they stay with you?
They would probably stay with me, but I'd have to work with them.
Yeah, you'd have to work with them.
With pricing and stuff.
That's right. And you're not generating that kind of revenue right now to justify, so my point is there's some real pressure there. Do you think you can? So here's my point. Yes, they would pay you if they agree to this number.
Yep.
So let's just say they agree to the number and they give you what you're making now or a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Well, your current clientele is not enough to justify that number.
Right.
Which means there's pressure for you to build. So you have to weigh that against you staying in your current day job and you building your own business on the side where there's no pressure.
Right.
So I just try, that's why you called me. I'm breaking it down for you. I think it comes down to what amount of pressure are you okay with?
Okay.
Because here's the deal. Both jobs or both scenarios are going to require you to build your business anyway. One's got a lot of pressure. The one has low pressure.
Right.
You know, look, if you're my wife, I'm going, hey, you want to sign up for that kind of pressure? If you do, I'll support you. But it's a different animal, and you got to think through this. Now, there's one caveat. If you go work for this company, and there's all this pressure with this company, but you are doing it 100% of the time of your work hours.
Right.
But it's a tough, tough business to build. Because people have got to say, all right, I've got financial problems and I'm going to spend money, what I probably don't have, right? And that's the way they think. You and I know, well, sure, that's the money you ought to be spending, you know?
Yep.
So I just think you got to weigh all that. And then here's one last thing. I keep coming up with things, Kim. This is truly the last thing. Do you really want to own your own business? Because if you just want to own your own business one day, I wouldn't do this stop, start stuff. I just stay with it. With your own deal. But that's if it matters to you. That's if owning it yourself matters a lot. And do you handle stress well? Do you handle pressure, I guess, is the better word. So I think that's what you got
to
think.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to weigh, was like the stress and the pressure and how much, or if it's my own business, it's like, okay, well, this is what's happening. I only have to answer to myself.
That's right.
And my husband, obviously.
But. Yeah, and... And, you know, right now you're making good money. Mm-hmm. And this side business is plus, right? Because that number you threw out at me, you're making $500 a month. So it's another $6,000 a year right now, but could it be $12,000 next year?
Right.
Could it be $24,000 2 years from now? Could it be 48,000? That's what you got away. So, Kim, I like to leave it up to the caller when I can. And so I'm going to leave it up to you. I think you know what you need to consider. I don't think that either one's a bad move or not. I think it's just about what's best for you. I think that's the deal. So appreciate the call, Kim. Love that. Love that you got options. That's always good. I like the calls where people have a fork in the road, and it's a good fork in the road. That's a good place to be in. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until the next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.
Subscribe to The Christy Wright Show wherever you listen to podcasts.